from Las Vegas, Nevada, the entertainment capital of the world. I'm David Gabbert, and this is the Vegas Faces Podcast, where we talk with Las Vegas locals about what it's really like to live in the City of Lights. Whether you're living in Vegas, moving to Vegas, or just visiting Vegas and looking for new adventures, together, let's discover the hidden gems that make Sin City the most visited place on Earth. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Vegas Faces Fun Facts. This is a segment where we do short clips about specific topics from right here in Las Vegas. I'm David Gavry. I'm a Las Vegas realtor with Realty One Group Summerlin. And today's topic is mistakes to avoid when buying a house. What not to do if you want to be a homeowner. Everybody's asking about the housing market here in Las Vegas. Maybe you want to move to Las Vegas, or maybe you want to move within Las Vegas. Either way, whether you're a first-time home buyer or an experienced homeowner, there are important things to know in order to have a successful and stress-free home purchase, as well as very important things to know about what not to do so that you don't sabotage the chances of buying your dream home. So with us today is Kevin McKinnon from Cross Country Mortgage to give us his professional advice. Kevin was on the Vegas Faces podcast episode 8, where we talked not just about mortgages, but also about Kevin's days of being a professional blackjack player. He tells a really fun story about getting banned from the casino because he was too good at blackjack. Vegas Faces episode 8, check him out. He's an awesome dude, and today he's going to set us straight. Kevin, welcome back to Vegas Faces.
Thank you very much, David. I appreciate having another chance to chop it up with you.
Thanks so much, Kevin. Let's just get right into it, all right? What disaster decisions are people making that will keep them from owning a home?
I mean, the list is long. And so what I generally tell everybody is to live your life the same way you did when I pre-approved you. And then to get into a little more detail is don't make impulse reckless decisions. And that's a pretty broad net to cast. But that involves everything from keeping your job the exact same way it was when we started talking. Because I've heard a number of stories. I've had a couple of personal experiences, you know, people saying, oh, my boss was a real, you know, B word. So I told her the day before that I quit. But guess what? We do things called 24-hour verification of employment to make sure that you still have a job the day before you're supposed to buy a house. So I've heard plenty of people. I mean, I've heard of physical altercations with bosses because a small argument turns into an actual fist fight. Certainly nothing I've experienced with my clients, but I've heard of that from other loan officers. I've just heard of people quitting the day before and going out Jerry Maguire style. So that's probably the easiest one that you can control is just keep your job. I mean, quit it the day after. We're not making phone calls the day after you close the loan. It's probably not the smartest move to do anything like that. But from a things you can control to make sure you still get to buy that dream house, that vacation house, that, you know, investment property, you know, keep the employment the same. There are times where things do shift. So I would say be transparent, because what we can do from our side is still kind of troubleshoot and try to do damage control. So if there's, you know, maybe a unexpected amount of time off or a sickness or something like that, it still gives us the opportunity to try to fix the situation and be proactive with it versus hearing about it the day before. What I'm shocked to always hear is the amount of secrets people think they can get away with. And that kind of leads me into my second point is don't open new lines of credit. This is something that's happened personally to me. Don't buy the boat for the vacation house before you get the vacation house, because we'll get alerts for any new lines of trade that get opened. So let's just say you want to furnish the brand new house. You know, here in Vegas, you go to RC Willie, you get the 0% interest card for $5,000. You max that bad boy out. Guess who gets an alert? Me and my entire team. Guess who might not have the debt to income ratio to absorb those payments? Possibly you, the borrower. So what I always remind people is that there are any number of places that will still give you the debt that you want after you buy the house. What we don't do is give everybody the house if you take on new debt. So between the living within your means type of thing and keeping your job the same, I'd say those are kind of the two pillars I lead with. And then depending on the interactions I've had with a client, I might go down a rabbit hole on a few other things.
Kevin, can we back up just a little bit? I want to talk about the pre-approval process. I feel like a lot of people, they want to just start by looking at houses. They get excited, mm-hmm. right? It's exciting. You find a bunch of houses that you like. Oh, I want to go see them. And then it's like, oh, wait, hold on. have you even gotten approved yet? And then a lot of the time, if it's a first time homebuyer, especially is, wait, what is that? What is that even? So I'm curious to know like the pre-approval process as well as how long, like you were saying, to maintain that whatever situation they were in when they got approved, how long yep. generally from that approval to the to getting the keys to the house?
I mean, that's you know, not a one size fits all question, but to give you an idea, the credit pull that you get from day one when you start the application is good for 120 days. That's industry standard. So that's me. That's, you know, every other lender that you can imagine. Pre-approvals typically follow the same kind of guideline, 90 days. So if I pre-approve you, you know, on this day, it's good for 90 the same way that anybody else would. What a lot of the, to your point, first-time homebuyers don't realize is they get to do the window shopping on the Zillows and the Redfins and the whatever. And they just go, great, house time. This is what I think I'm approved for because I make X dollars a year. What obviously they don't understand is the pretty thorough, you know, background process that, you know, as a lender, we've got to go through their whole financial profile. And if it's them and a spouse or a co-borrower, you know, it just adds more moving pieces to the entire process. That being said, if you've got a borrower who is motivated and understands the why, I always try to explain the why behind, you know, the timeline I'm asking for, the reasons I need these documents, trying to get them to understand what it is I need from them so that it can build a little sense of urgency for them. I typically tell my borrowers that it takes me about 24 to 48 hours to turn around a completed application and all of the supporting documentation. Ideally, best case scenario, that just is a pre-approval. If there's additional steps needed, then obviously we're still getting to that conversation within a day or two. I would say that's not the industry standard, unfortunately. You know, there's just some other lenders that have a little bit slower, more meticulous process, or just don't work with a sense of urgency, neither here nor there in that perspective. But, you know, the pre-approval should be something you can capture pretty quickly for a qualified borrower. That gives you the ability to do the fun part, which is go show the homes, actually tour properties. But I do hear it a lot from agents that are new and old of like, hey, you know, I might give you one if there's some type of rapport, trust or history between the borrower and the real estate agent. But more often than not, it's more of a like deflection back to get pre-approved, understand the home that you can afford, and then we get to do the fun part.
What do you think is the most extreme case that you've seen of a deal falling apart because of something that happened in between the getting approved and getting the keys?
I would say the buying the boat for the lake house in the vacation home was the biggest shocker. Because again, this is a conversation I have with everybody. Hey, we're under contract. We're pre-approved. This is what we have. Don't do anything silly. So that was probably the most jarring. The funny one that was my old boss's best story, which ended up working out, was a guy bought a Ferrari and took on like a $1,900 a month car payment. And it was like, you clearly make enough money, still a reckless decision. But I mean, I can't tell you how to live your life because, you know, you're pretty obscenely rich. So go ahead and still, you know, could have waited 2 weeks, but, you know, maybe that was the last color in the lot. So you'd make the decision.
I saw a buyer who bought a car to match the house. That's what they said. I want the car to match the house. I got the car now, so let's get the house. And yeah. I was like,
yeah, it's always the other way around. I've definitely heard a lot of people, you know, they get the patio furniture, the flat screen TV was on sale. You know, if you buy the dining room set, you get the couch, you know, that stuff is unfortunately more dime a dozen. Even despite our best efforts of, hey, this is the things you can do. This is what you can't do. You know, continue to use your credit cards. No one's saying you've got to just go straight up cash for the next however many days. So what you don't do is don't max them out. We still get an alert for that. But just live within your means. Like I always say, you know, do what you were doing to get you here for how, you know, usually contracts right now are 30 days or less. So, you know, suck it up for 30 more days. You know, a cup of ramen if you have to, instead of going out to eat, you know, a couple nights a week, you know, believe me, it'll work itself out to get the keys at the end of the day.
What do you think are some things that people don't know? Because like when you just brought up patio furniture, you know, I'm thinking anywhere from $500 to a couple thousand dollars, maybe something like that. Like what are some purchases that people might not think are you know, big splurge purchases that still can affect, and maybe it's not just purchases, but what are just some smaller things, some things that, that aren't as obvious as buying a boat before buying the house that can still sabotage the transaction?
Yeah, I would say my next story under that was jet skis. I would say anything that you don't have to finance. So again, if you could go to Costco and you've got the deal for $1,500 to buy whatever their deal is on patio furniture, and you're not opening a Costco card and it's not maxing you out on your credit card, like, yeah, that's fine. That's still, I guess, what we would consider responsible use of credit. But it's really anytime you open a new trade line, it's just an automatic red flag. So it could be a $500 secured credit card, which again, might not have a huge impact for what your debt to income ratio and what your spending power is at the end of the day. But it's still something that I covered, and hopefully most, if not all, lenders will cover to say, hey, like, here's the things that are going to trip us up. If I know that there's enough wiggle room, I'm still not advocating for it. But, you know, if there's a life emergency, it's still one of those, like, just get on the phone real quick. Let me know the scenario. I can run the numbers in a matter of minutes and go, hey, we're good on that. That's fine. Like, I'll prepare my team for this red flag that's going to pop up within the next 48 hours. But I think what I encourage with the clients that I work with is just the door's always open. Like, when we're in contract, there's essentially not a dumb enough question you can ask, because it's the times that they're like, that was stupid, I'm not going to ask them. And then I got, well, that closed the deal. We're just all of a sudden, you know, it's not going to work out anymore.
When you said like opening a line of credit, does that mean something as silly as like a Macy's card? Like, you know, one of those like, hey, would you like to, you know, save 10% by opening a Old Navy credit card?
Yeah, a great question. And honestly, I would say underrated in terms of like the follow up on it. But yeah, like you go and get a new Banana Republic card, red flag. So it doesn't have to be a boat, a car, a jet ski, just anything that's a new trade line that's going to report to the bureaus, you know, a Home Depot card, because you're like, I know I'm going to redo the backyard. I know I'm going to tear out the floors in the bathroom. Like all of those things, whether it's a $100 card or not, we'll still get the little ding alert for it. And again, on the smaller side, probably not going to be an issue. Certainly on the larger side, cars, boats, jet skis, much bigger issue. But again, you'll get that card the day after you close 1,000% of the time. So I was just advised from a path of least resistance, just wait so that it's not going to make things more difficult on my end, which kind of rolls into just more work and more explanations and just more follow-up from you, the borrower.
Are there, when you brought up like job changes, like, yeah, that extreme example about punching the boss, sure. But what layoffs do happen. So what happens in a case of, you know, a position got dissolved, someone got laid, mass layoffs, can you still buy the house? Or does that automatically mean that like, nope, no chance anymore? Like, can you elaborate on that?
That's tricky. I would say the easiest route to kind of stay on path with, you know, possibly just an extension is if you can find a salary job. And I would say find a salary job doing anything. From our side of income verification, if you're salaried, you know, typically an offer letter and maybe your first pay stub, that's enough burden of proof for us to be able to verify your income. If you lose your bartender gig you've been at for 6 years, you know, so you're making your base plus the tips, and you go get another job, we're going to need to see weeks, if not months, of that income to be able to forecast and understand that, you know, this is a new job in a new location, same position technically, but we're going to need to see a pretty substantial amount of work history to be able to confidently say, hey, we're still going to approve this person. This happens a lot with people who have driven Uber in one city and they move to the new city. You know, we can't guarantee that the hours and the tips and everything are going to be as lucrative. So losing your job in the middle of the contract is, you know, more often not a kiss of death. But I genuinely say, go find a salary job, like work it for 2 months. I don't care what it's doing. Go scour the internet. That will be your path of least resistance, be able to keep the home if people can agree to an extension. Because other than that, it's usually going to scrap the deal and kind of hit the reset button.
Yeah, well, I'm glad we got into all this stuff. I feel like these are obvious things, but also things that still people don't really know about. So always appreciate your expertise. Before we let you go, tell people about where they can find you, where you work, all your plugs. Go for it.
Yeah, appreciate it. Yeah, so Instagram, kev.in.vegas. On TikTok, I am Kevin Home Loans. I work for Cross Country Mortgage here in Las Vegas. I'm an easy guy to find on any of those socials. Cell phone is 508-667-6225. As always, like everybody else in the world, this thing's on me 22 and a half hours a day. So I'm an easy guy to get a hold of. Again, appreciate the opportunity to hop on. I always love these conversations and love being able to kind of share the information that I have. Hopefully educate some people so they don't make any of these terror decisions and examples we went through already.
Absolutely. By the way, I enjoy your videos on Instagram. You have like, Kevin has like educational videos about different things about mortgages and lending and different types of loans and all that kind of fun stuff. So keep up the good work, Kevin, really.
I appreciate it. I would, I'll just send like a little warning. Very much X-rated language. So if you have kids around, not safe for work, I would maybe throw the headphones on. I try to be entertaining and educational, and I'm an East Coast guy, so I kind of let the colorful language fly when I'm trying to explain things from time to time. So I would say maybe not the best thing to play on your work speakers, depending on your office environment.
I would just call it honest. Like, it's just honest. You set people straight. You really do. Like, you don't beat around the bush. You're not PC. You're just like, hey, guys – don't buy an effing boat right before the house closes.
yeah, exactly. I don't mind getting the tough criticism, so I dole it out just as easily.
Always good talking to you, Kevin. Thanks so much for being here today.
Yeah, it was a pleasure, man. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for subscribing to Vegas Faces on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Find us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and TikTok under the name Gavri Group. That's Gavri Group. Thanks, everybody. See you at the next episode.